Good morning, my friends. Good morning and welcome. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen, and very excited to have you with us here tonight. It is now officially Tuesday, April 17th, 2007. It is about midnight here in the Central Time Zone. And the first hour, we have been covering quite extensively the material about the shooting, which took place earlier today, technically yesterday. And this took place at the Virginia Tech campus. Now, you probably have heard some things about this. What you may or may not know is some of the things we've addressed already, and we're going to talk about some of this stuff. Again, the idea here is that there were two shootings at the Virginia Tech campus, one taking place somewhere around 7 a.m., and then or a little bit after, 7:15, something like that. And then there was another shooting on the same campus by the same guy two and a half hours later. Now, it all started with this guy showing up, presumably to confront his girlfriend at her dorm. They got into an argument of sorts. Somebody called the resident advisor, the dorm supervisor, who went down there to sort of, you know, send the guy on his way, protect the gal, and, you know, that sort of thing. You know, just say, hey, why don't you beat her? I'll call the campus cops. The guy pulls out a gun, kills the dorm supervisor, kills his girlfriend, leaves. That dorm, in particular, is locked down, and they go into this whole thing. This was a... And this is addressed by way of the university officials in a number of ways. One of the things is, of course, campus police, I believe they said, oh, we thought it was just a domestic situation. We thought the man had fled campus. Well, he probably did, but he did come back. So no classes were canceled. No other buildings were locked down. And the email alert, and gosh, it's a good thing nobody sends me email alerts because I don't check my email that often. But apparently, if you were checking your email, the earliest you would have got it was as the second shooting was taking place, 2 hours plus after the fact. The point is, this all began because the shooter was presumably dating the victim, and he went to confront her because he thought she was cheating on him. This is a big, 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 glaring neon sign, a big arrow pointing to the need for you to protect yourself. Now, I'm not just talking about guns. Guns are guns, and we all know them, and we know all the ins and outs of the whole thing. I don't think it needs to be debated, not with this crowd. It doesn't even need to be discussed, for the most part, with this crowd. I think you probably know some things. There are going to be calls for gun control and so on and so forth, but think about this. This guy, granted, he knew the girl, but what if she knew that maybe this guy was a little off? Maybe what if she knew that this guy had some issues, whether he was failing school, or he had confronted her before about cheating, or she thought he was cheating, or she was planning on breaking up with him, and maybe she knew that he was a little bit off. Maybe she knew that he had obviously had access to two illegal 9mm pistols. Maybe she knew he had them. Obviously, this was premeditated to a certain extent, which indicates that they're falling out, their issue, boyfriend and girlfriend type issues, had been present beforehand. So what if she had known or had acted on maybe the instinct, something in the back of her mind that said, hey, look, I need to hide from this guy because this guy's crazy. He might hurt me. He might hurt others, in which case he did both. But what if she had heard from a parent, from a cousin, from a friend, from a father, from a mother, from a brother, from a son? Who knows that there are ways for you to be anonymous, ways for you to disappear, ways for you to keep yourself physically safe, as well as financially safe, as well as anonymously safe in all that you do, in how you live, how you work, how you bank, how you travel. This is why our guest tonight and our sponsor here of this hour is so vital. When we come back from the break, we'll hear from our guest. He's the author of an incredible book that you must have. It's called Privacy Crisis, Identity Theft Prevention Plan and Guide to Anonymous Living. Grant Hall will be joining us. Check out the website, privacycrisis.com, and we'll be back in three.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt, I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SolayWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleilWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen, and we're talking about some real tragic information here. And again, you always hate to have to address these things. This is not a fear-mongering show. We are looking for solutions. We are looking for personal empowerment, and you have it. And you have it in spades with our guest here tonight. The book is called Privacy Crisis. You can pick this up a number of different ways. You can go to the website, privacycrisis.com. You can buy the hardbound copy. You can also buy the e-book. Okay, the e-book, of course, stands for electronic book. And obviously, if you have internet access, you can go there and do that at privacycrisis.com. You can also look for a used copy for yourself at amazon.com, which, if you have internet access, you probably have perused that website quite a bit. If you would like to order by phone, we'll give out the number periodically. You can call Borders Bookstore, order it over the phone, and it's very easy to do. Just call 702-433-6222. That's 702-433-6222. This book is all about ways to protect yourself. Again, as we've talked about many, many, many times, a lot of people might say, well, if this gal had only had a gun, she would have been able to protect herself. Well, that's true. But if she was unable to be located, she might have a gun and never need to use it. And wouldn't that be the preferable thing? Because obviously, even if you're shooting someone in self-defense, you still got legalisms that you have to deal with. You still have to make statements to the police. You still have to perhaps go through a court process if they want to charge you with something. Maybe you have to deal with a civil suit because the family's unhappy feeling that you gunned their child down in self-defense. They felt it wasn't really self-defense. These days, anything can happen. But if you're unable to be located, then that gun that you have for self-preservation, for protection, will never have to be used. And that's why our guest, one of many reasons why our guest is so important, the author of Privacy Crisis, Grant Hall. Welcome back, sir.
Hello, Frank.
Very, very excited that you're here, my friend. Thank you for making time for us. And as I mentioned, of course, before, you're sponsoring this hour, and we thank you so much for that and for helping us to continue to do the show.
Oh, you're certainly welcome.
What are your thoughts on the incident that took place today in context of this starting out as a domestic dispute?
Well, I have not read all the details. I've been on the road, but I did catch some of it on the Internet in late afternoon. I think your opening pretty much gave a good summary, and that is that people owe it to themselves and their loved ones to make themselves as private as necessary and to be very careful about who they let into their lives. And if a red flag or a dangerous signal goes up, then they need to take the measures to avoid the problem. That is always preferable to a standoff or a confrontation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've taken, you know, several types of martial arts, and obviously I was a Boy Scout, you know, preparedness, caution. These things are always sort of in my mind whenever I do things. And I know that the best way to deal with a bad situation is to avoid it first and foremost. If you can avoid it, that's one thing. But do your best to stay out of trouble, to stay, you know, under the radar. And that's what you've got here in this book, is a whole slew of different ideas and concepts that are fairly easily implemented. In fact, I will say this, they're easily implemented, each one in and of itself. To do the whole thing, take a little bit of time, but it seems relatively achievable, and obviously it does work, and again, it's completely legal.
It is, all the things you mentioned. Of course, at the very high levels of any endeavor, you're going to need to study and prepare, just like the very good athletes. You being an athlete yourself know the value of preparation.
Oh, yeah.
That is very important in privacy and accomplishing business and personal privacy. One cannot prepare and win the game and win the championship unless they've read the playbook. And so that's where we go. We need to be able to study, prepare, and apply the principles and concepts, and most importantly is to be able to model after someone who has been successful in the field that you're trying to accomplish excellence in. That's true in all fields, of course, and I stand behind every sentence in this book. I have done or know of people that have used every concept, every principle in this book. I stand behind it 100%. I really, really am proud of this book. I had a lot of help in editing it and illustrating it, designing it. The publisher was kind enough and generous enough and believed in my work enough to take the risk of publishing it. And I'm doing my best to promote it. And I think we're making some good headway here in educating the public.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. You know, and that's the beauty of it. And I take the approach with the show where I say, you know, if one person is helped by the show, then to me, that's a huge blessing for me. But, you know, you're able to help, gosh, I'm sure millions and millions of people, at some level, once people start hearing about all this and looking at all this, because this is an important thing. And obviously, we've talked about this on the show many, many times. If everyone were to implement all the things in your book, society itself would change. Society itself would actually get better, just because people are bettering their own situation. People are standing up and becoming individuals. I was reading a story today saying there are over half the people, I guess, who are on some sort of government assistance programs right now could not survive without them, which is a bad, bad thing. That shows complete and total reliance upon the system, complete and total reliance and adherence to the system, meaning, of course, I'll give you any information you want. Here's all my biometrics. Now this is required for welfare, or now you have to RFID my kids now for welfare. Look, we should not have to comply with these types of demands. The conditions that have to be met in order to, of course, acquire anything like money from the government and whatnot are so invasive and horrendous already that they should be anathema to every single red-blooded American citizen or anybody who comes to this country understanding what the concepts of freedom truly are. And yet here we are in a society where everybody just goes with the flow. We need your Social Security number to do anything. We need to run a credit check on you before we allow you to have this job. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, and it's amazing. And one of the things we've talked about is how they might seek to actually implement some of these security measures in terms of campuses and schools around the country. The best way, of course, to do this is to get to the kids first, maybe do biometric scanners or, fingerprint technology. Who knows? The point is that the world we're in now is changing, and it's going to change in reverse. It's going to start with the kids, and eventually kids are going to get used to this. They're going to get used to being patted down at airports. They're going to be used to scanning their fingerprints to pay for things and to be identified and so on and so forth. But you and I and all the listeners out there have been around before all these things were commonplace, so we should appreciate this stuff more than anyone about the need to be anonymous, the right to be anonymous.
Certainly, and one's privacy is of utmost importance today as always, contrary to what so many people in the media tell the listeners. We have the greatest opportunity in America than ever before to utilize new information, new products, and new companies to make your life as private as you choose to make it. This is the result of Americans doing what they've done for many, many decades, and that is being innovators and being entrepreneurs and developing new products. I'm talking about anonymous cell phones that you can buy. I'm talking about privacy software, my own book, any number of resources that come by way of companies that develop new products and new services to help you in your quest for privacy.
Amen. That's very well said. And again, I think your book covers all the basics. In fact, and I shouldn't say basics because that makes it sound like it is basic. It's not basic. It's very, very in-depth. I'm just looking at here, almost 400 pages of information. It's incredibly valuable. But not only do you, of course, advise people about techniques that do work, have worked, and probably will always work, you also go into different things, referencing people to various locations, websites, different types of things you can use to secure, for example, your computer programs that and whatnot, things like that. You also, I think, and probably, Grant, I don't know if you've gotten any feedback on this particular angle, I love all of the don't do it this way type of advice that you have in there, because apparently there have been people out there for a while suggesting various avenues to securing your privacy, and probably not the smartest thing. But you actually say, hey, look, if you're looking to let's look at identification, for example. If you're looking for an identification that's in a different name, there are ways to do it and there are ways not to. And you advise people in that regard, which I think is very important.
Right, and identification is one of the segments. We've got eight different parts to the book, and underneath those are various chapters, of which there's 28 total chapters. But the reason I covered identification so thoroughly is because there's times that people need to use an alternate name, and they can do that perfectly legal as long as they're aware of the jurisdiction requirements in their locale. So that is commonly done. Many of us use pen names or nicknames or alternate names for privacy purposes, not for the purpose of getting something that you're not entitled to.
Right.
Throughout the Western Hemisphere, historically, it's been legal to use an alternate name.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's a number of people, I should say a few authors that I'm aware of, both in articles as well as in one in particular, a best-selling book, that advise not only what I would consider immoral and unethical in that category, but just downright illegal. You do not want to do that. You
right.
do not want to take a fake document and present it to a government agency and try to do it that way. That's the wrong approach. Follow the law.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessary for privacy to break the law.
Right.
You can do everything legally, and you can develop a high level of privacy, but you've got got to know what you're doing. You've got to listen to people that are going to steer you in the right way. And I pride myself in being that person. I really have had a great deal of experience, and that's also on the back flap of the book. You can read about me on the website if you choose to do that as well. So my story is pretty well documented. It's there, and so I'm speaking from a practitioner experience, not somebody who's put together some theory. And I'm also on the other side of the fence, the person that had to have privacy, not the person who was seeking somebody who was trying to get privacy. There's a big difference there.
Yes.
The person who's actually in the position of being invisible, if you will, and making his property and his job and his car and his communication system and all of these important components of their life invisible, that's a huge difference in playing that role versus somebody who's looking for that guy. So that's the difference. It's entirely different animals. And I believe that the previous role that I played in terms of having to live a very high level of privacy will serve the reader well, as my experience helped me a great deal.
Well, it's fantastic, that's for sure. Because as we had stated, it is equally important to know what avenues not to approach as it is which ones to approach. And I think you explain all that and show the difference between the two, and especially in this day and age, because your book is when did that come out? Was it November of 06?
Well, I think it was received about December, actually.
Okay.
And so I think it's been on the market just since just before the first of the year.
Sure, but certainly it's probably the most recent book out there. Which, honestly, ladies and gentlemen, when you're looking to examine these types of things and you're looking to pursue these types of things, you want the most up-to-date information, and that is another thing that people need to be cognizant about. Because again, we are in a surveillance society. We are in a society where we've been warned that people are identity thieves, and they're looking to seek out information on us. At the same time, that the government is saying you might be a terrorist, we might have to dig deep on you just in case. So either way you look at it, you're going to want to know what the laws are, and you're going to know how to do these things in terms of the brand new legislation, the anti-terrorism legislation, which may or may not have been in place when previous incarnations of privacy advice books were written. So this is probably the most recent thing on the market. It's certainly the best thing I've ever read in this regard, and I'll say that to anybody on or off the air. It's not just because you're here, Grant. But let's talk about the different kinds of identification. There are primary identification, secondary, and so on and so forth, and obviously we're up to a break. So let me ask you to hang on, and as soon as we come back, we'll dive into this, because this is an area a lot of people have been curious about. I know I always have, too. So I'm looking forward to discussing this with you. And folks, you're welcome to contribute if you'd like. 800-313-9443. We only have an hour, so we'll do our best to fit you in. Stay with us. Back in three.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
You're here. You are listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen, and thrilled that you're with us and able to benefit from the expertise and knowledge of our sponsor, Grant Hall. He's the author of the book Privacy Crisis. This book can be picked up a number of ways. As I said, Amazon.com. You can also pick it up at PrivacyCrisis.com, or you can call Borders Bookstore and order it via phone at 702-433-6222, which we'll give out again periodically. Grant Hall, welcome back, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much. When we left off, we were talking about different forms of identification. I assume primary identification would be like a driver's license.
Yes. Any government-issued identification in your true name would be considered a primary identification. This would include the U.S. passport, driver's license, state-issued ID for those that generally don't drive, which is equivalent of a driver's license. Also, a birth certificate is considered a primary identification, but it's not widely accepted, as are the other three, as a primary ID.
Oh, okay.
Once you're past about age 16.
I see. So passports are probably the best way to go, I presume, as far as just identification, correct?
Well, I do like the U.S. passport for U.S. citizens as a primary identification, just because it's not easily tapped into, and it's not readily available in terms of the databases, as are the driver's license, which gives us the holder a certain amount of privacy.
Absolutely. So when someone is looking to pursue some form of alternative identification, I presume that there are different ways to do that. And when selecting, I guess, the name, for example, you don't want to change your name from Grant Hall to Osama bin Laden, for example. I mean, you probably have to be pretty careful in choosing an identity to. Are you creating a whole identity, or are you just simply giving yourself an option?
Well, alternate identification is a choice that people have the option of making if they're wanting to create a second alternate identity for privacy reasons.
Yes.
And traditionally, the alternate identification is just in the category of all pieces of ID in an alternate name that has been issued by private sources. Anybody that makes those. And keep in mind that people use these for non-official reasons. Mm-hmm. In other words, they don't present those to a government official, a bank, or
right.
law enforcement, or anything like that. They're strictly for privacy purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And be very careful when you use these. So the purpose is for privacy exclusively,
mm-hmm.
and if you have any questions whatsoever, research this and get counsel about it.
Sure, and you have a lot of resources, of course, in the book that people can access periodically, you know, websites and different things like that, which I think is fantastic. Now, would it be acceptable, let's say, for example, that that I work for myself in some capacity. If I were to issue an employee identification card for myself, would that fit the paradigm?
I would think so.
Okay.
And generally, a work ID along with library cards, credit cards, insurance cards, and school IDs are considered secondary identification.
I see.
And, you know, those are less prestigious than the primary identification. But, yes, I would think a work ID would be acceptable in certain circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as the credit card as an alternate form, you can get prepaid credit cards, can you not, where you put money down and you can just have it for, you know, your alternate identity, in which case you're not scamming anybody, you're not putting in false Social Security numbers or anything like that to get a fake credit history come about. You're simply saying, look, this already has the money prepaid on it, and it functions in credit card-like capacity.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And these are readily available. In fact, they're very common today. People demand these because of the risk of having their real name as well as a credit line account or a large credit line be available to those that will steal from you as you make online transactions. And so these are very common. You can pick these up at various department stores and just do your online purchases. And when you're required to make a registration of sorts, you can use any name you want to, and you can get around providing your real name, and you're not, like you say, you're not doing anything that's harming anybody.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. For example, anyone who does any traveling, of course, when you call to book a hotel room, they want to secure the reservation with a credit card, whether you charge it or not. So if you have a credit card that's prepaid, and you can go ahead and do that, and then you show up there and you provide them with your work identification card or something of that nature, it's not going to contradict itself as far as the name on the credit card and the name on the ID. And then you don't even have to pay with the credit card. You just use it to secure it. A lot of people say, well, I'll never get a credit card because I'm not going to get buried in debt. Well, this is a perfect way to exercise a certain amount of personal responsibility over how much you're able to spend without limiting you to the world of cash transactions.
Right, and a lot of that is necessary today in terms of securing various services, like you mentioned in the illustration. Be sure and research all of that in a particular location that you're traveling before you make a decision on how you're wanting to preserve your privacy. But the illustration you gave has been used by privacy advocates.
Oh, good.
So it would probably serve some people well.
Well, that's good advice. And again, if people want the full story, they really need the book itself because, you know, there are some things in the book that, you know, probably will not be discussed on the airwaves. And that's for a variety of different reasons. But obviously, again, if people are willing to do the work, they will find that there are many, many avenues out there for them.
Right. And I must emphasize the importance of gaining not only knowledge and being prepared when you do attempt to build your privacy and enhance your privacy, but also the skills that you develop to communicate once you have the information is very important. We can all improve our communication skills, and this will help you, first of all, in being assertive enough to get what you do require as you seek a more private lifestyle and more private business life as well. This is very important because many times people aren't aware of really what restrictions or no restrictions, and so they just take everything at face value. If a clerk wants your Social Security number, for example, many people just give it. I've been in rooms where somebody has hollered out, "What's your social?" and they've actually said it so I can hear it on the other side.
Unbelievable.
Of the room. And this has been in the government office, and this is really, really silly to get in that kind of a position. You must preserve your privacy, and when you point out to the person that's asking for it that this is highly confidential, and you probably won't get it from me anyway, because it's just really not necessary. And I have a Social Security number, but I'm very, very careful who has it. So there's like four agencies in the world that have it, and I think that has served me well. And I would encourage people to guard all their privacy information with a great deal of caution.
One of our callers last week, Grant, had mentioned that he's had a Social Security number for a long time, but he never used it. He used a military identification number in all capacities, and then he went to the VA hospital and gave his military ID, and they printed out a card that had his Social Security number on it. So, you know, it was in the system. There are people who know it, but the point is that he refrains from using it every possible occasion, which I think is again, serving yourself well to be as anonymous as possible. Inevitably, anyone can find anyone, but the point is that you throw enough obstacles in the way, and it will not be cost-effective for people to hunt you down.
Well, that's very important. The story you just told reminds me of something. Many times there is a portion of your identification buried in the system someplace that will surface. However, there's other times that it might be there, and you might be aware that it's there, and you'd be surprised by just approaching the right people at a given agency, a bank, et cetera, and just talking to them. And you'd be surprised how many people will remove that if you ask them.
Yeah. I mean, they're sympathetic, too.
You may have to go to two or three different offices of the same agency and just say, hey, look, this is really important to me. I've had a challenge of a privacy challenge in the past. My point is not to deceive anybody, but my point is that through persistence and through having the right communication skills, you can get a lot done.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the communication has to be applied as well. You don't want to go into a bank and try to get a check cashed or open an account and have, you know, and they say, well, we need this information, and all of a sudden you start getting up there screaming about how it's illegal for this, and you can't do this, and you're a communist or whatever. You know, obviously the whole, you know, catch more flies with honey philosophy will certainly apply, because these people that you're interacting with, yes, they may work for a government agency or something like that, but they are human beings, they're Americans, they're in the system too, and they're probably very sympathetic to whatever you might be going through.
And you're exactly right, and many times all they're doing is doing what they've been told or what their manual might be telling them. And if you approach a manager perhaps a notch up, or one with a little more responsibility, and whether that be by telephone or going in the next day or whatever, you'd be amazed at how many people will listen to you. If you approach the problem totally objective, and you go in with a really good attitude, and you persist. This is important, is to develop that persistence necessary to succeed in what you're trying to accomplish. And privacy is no exception. In fact, I found that through persistence and just making the right connections, that I've been able to do just about anything I want in terms of getting my privacy.
See, I think that's also very, very important, because, again, you can't get frustrated by this because too much is at stake. And again, a lot of people may not understand these sorts of things, and I pray that they never do, that they never look back and say, gosh, I wish I had implemented some of those things that guy Grant Hall was talking about. Because at that point, it may be too late. But, you know, you can always go back. You may not be able to avoid the initial situation, which maybe woke you up, but the point is maybe you can avoid future problems. And that's certainly, you know, where I've been, my friend. And I've told you about some of the stuff in confidence about my situation, and you've given me Wonderful tips, and I certainly appreciate that. This is about your ability to do what you want to do and live your life the way you want to live it, which is, again, free. And that's what we've been talking about. And is it going to require a little bit of extra hoops to jump through? Yeah, probably. But is it worth it? Undoubtedly so. And like you said, you may have to go into every bank in your town before you find one that's willing to work with you. But the point is that you'll probably find one. It may be the first one you go to.
Yes, and that's only one option. There's a whole lot of options to handle your finances that, without very much trouble, you can break the trail to where your money is. That's really not a big problem. But in the other areas of your life, to avoid the catastrophes that we've seen happen in the last day or so, one without very much research and very much time and very cost effectively, they can accomplish anonymity in their living arrangement, where nobody will know where they live. Mm-hmm. And you can be out of the databases pretty quickly,
sure.
And you can walk into a supermarket or a department store and buy a telephone that doesn't require any registration, and they sell them off the shelves. Mm-hmm. And so you've got privacy right there in two really important parts of your life. And then from there, mm-hmm. you get into your travel program and your banking and your career and on and on. And mm-hmm. there's just a whole lot of steps that you can take. On the other hand, without a whole lot of work, you can get quite a lot accomplished.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And you know, I think that these things are done intentionally. Maybe it's the conspiracy theorist in me. Maybe it's the fact that I'm, you know, uber cautious. But there was a thing for a while there on Google, and somebody had told me about this, and I said, there's no way. And basically, if you went to Google in the search engine part, and you typed in a phone number, area code, dash, you know, three numbers, dash, four numbers, it would bring up not only your address, but your name. And then it had a very convenient option. It said, go to map. You click there, and it'll show you exactly where somebody lives based solely on their phone number, which is horrifying to me because obviously, you know, they have things in the library and whatnot where you can go and look up a phone number and find out where somebody's address is. That's also very commonly understood. And somebody who's being paid to track you down, a private investigator or whatever, you know, they don't mind going to the library and doing a little legwork. But, geez, can you imagine how easy it is for somebody to just turn on their computer and do this? So that was a horrific thing, and it was a glitch, quote unquote, that Google had, and they took care of it. But how often are these glitches going to happen? How often do we hear stories about people's laptops being stolen? An employee at the IRS had their laptop stolen. It contains 5 million people with all of their information. You know, first of all, why are these guys carrying around laptops with personal information? Why are they allowed to take these things home? Why do these laptops have all this information rather than being part of a network that can be tapped into? It's bizarre to me. The point is, you cannot trust any agency, any institution. You cannot put more trust in them than you put in yourself. So take the burden upon your own shoulders and do these things for your own safety in every way.
And the reverse phone number searches that you mentioned, mm-hmm. whereas you track an individual by their telephone number, if it's listed in their name and if their address is tied to the telephone bill, mm-hmm. then you can find a person really easy. While it may not be on Google as we speak, you can go to any number of people searches, and for $25 or $50, you can get the same information and get it rather quickly.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's ways around that, and these are pretty simple measures. One can take. You can go into the store and buy a telephone right off the rack, landlines or cell phones, without registering them in any name. Yeah, the cell phones will not have a bill associated with them, so you're home free with that.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the home address, you do not want to use your home address for any kind of bills anyway. Mm-hmm. You need to have some kind of a stand-in person, a nominee, receiving your mail for you if you mm-hmm. really value your privacy.
Sure.
So with those simple measures, Frank, you've accomplished a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You could have potentially avoided the problems that the folks had earlier today.
With the whole, I mean, you know, again, she lived in a dorm. Presumably, she dated this guy. Presumably, he knew exactly where her room was. He went there. But the point is had she lived off campus, had she suspected that there may be an issue, let's say her family had maybe, instructed her about these things and the importance of these things, then she would have simply said, okay, it's time for plan B. I'm going into all the different measures that I've already been prepared for my whole life, different ways to sort of disappear for my own personal safety. And again, if this guy wasn't able to go after his girlfriend first and then, of course, commit the atrocity, maybe he wouldn't have figured, well, I already killed two people. I might as well just kill a bunch of people until they gun me down. You know, maybe it was that initial thing that crossed the threshold that allowed him to perpetrate the additional crime. We don't know. In which case, had she disappeared, had she been able to do that, know how to do that, who knows? Who knows? You know, there might be 33 people alive today that weren't alive earlier yesterday. So it's a real tragedy, the kind of thing that could have been avoided in a number of different ways. So this is why it is vital that people understand these things. Let's talk about your house. Obviously, a lot of people would say, well, you know, I own my own home and it's already in my name. I'm probably up a creek without a paddle. Is that true?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
There's a couple of options you have if you fall into that condition. For example, there have been privacy seekers that have essentially just sold their house to an entity that they control. I think I've used that example in the book, mm-hmm. whereas a trust was the new owner of the house, but the person who had the house in their name became a trustee, which essentially is the manager of the trust, and therefore the house changes ownership and basically allows the individual to escape the databases, providing they do some other details like using somebody else to sign on the dotted line for, mm-hmm. or on the dotted line for any type of county recording. This is a little complicated. I don't mean it to sound that way. Mm-hmm. It's really something that can be pretty easily accomplished. There's people that are very serious about that once they get into the privacy mm-hmm. Mode of living, and they move. There's people that are that particular. Other people choose to have their rent. If they happen to be renting, they choose to rent in an alternate name, and there's a whole lot of tactics that are necessary in order to do that effectively. So there's options, and there's quite a few different options that people can take, regardless of where they are mm-hmm. in their privacy program. If they're living just like normal people, which is generally out in the open, they can still take measures, but they have to have the education, they have to have the mm-hmm. information, and they have to be able to study and read and learn and apply the principles after they've grasp the knowledge. They have to learn to apply the principles.
Yes, and hopefully this is the same sort of mindset people should go into anything with. You know, you don't simply pick up a football for the first time and walk out on the field of an NFL game. I mean, you have to know what you're getting yourself into. You have to understand all the options available to you and choose the option that suits your need best. And again, for somebody just simply looking to gradually get into a process of anonymity, they're going to take different measures at different steps, different speeds, than someone who is perhaps in fear of their life because of an ex girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever the case may be.
That's right. And while it's a serious subject for the most part, the whole area of privacy, making your life and your business life, your personal life, and all your communication system and your travel program become a private way of living, it still can be enjoyable and it can be fun, and there can be a tremendous sense of accomplishment as you progress.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very positive because
yes.
Think about it. You're protecting not only yourself, but you're making your property anonymous, and also you're serving your family well by
yes.
making them become more private, so to speak.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know, you just can't take chances. You know, we talked today about a school shooting at a university campus. We've talked about school shootings in high school and certainly middle school. And it even goes on, you know, less than that. You look at the Amish school was kids of all ages. So that in and of itself is an issue. What I'm getting at here, folks, is that identity theft happens to everybody. There are infants, newborns, who are on the terrorism watch list because of the name they've been given or the name that's been co-opted. There are people who have their identity stolen in order to, again, acquire new lines of credit, and maybe they're using a newborn's name. So you might have a child who's born, let's say, this year here in 2007, and let's say that you don't find out for 15 years or 14 years when that kid goes to get a job that their identity was stolen a week after they were born because you didn't know enough to take care of these security protocols. I mean, anything can happen.
And keeping that information very private is essential.
Yes.
I believe that newborns, aren't they, Frank, issued Social Security numbers in the hospital today?
In certain cases? It's protocol to do so. They tell you that it is required. They tell you if you're in a hospital having a baby, this is just from what I understand from people I know who have done this, they are told you must have the child named, you must have a birth certificate and Social Security number before they leave the hospital. And if you know enough, you say, actually, that's not required. They'll argue with you a little bit, but inevitably they will let you leave without it. But most people don't think for themselves. Most people haven't done the research, Grant. Most people don't know what authority they have in these types of situations. So I completely concur with you. For the most part, to the average Joe citizen, they think, oh, yeah, it's required. Okay, you tell me it is. Okay, no problem. And that's that.
And they, the average person sees the hospital as some powerful institution that has some sort of affiliation with the government, and that's usually not the case.
Yeah.
So it gets back to your people skills and you're being assertive and you knowing what is important for your privacy. And the last thing I would do would be give a newborn's Social Security number to anybody or even let them have one.
Yes.
So it wouldn't be necessary for a number of years anyway if they chose to work and use that and so forth. So, one just has to be aware of, first of all, the dangers, like you pointed out, and also take back your freedom and take back your right to privacy. This is very important. Traditionally, a free people have always demanded privacy in the very important parts of their lives.
Amen to that. Well said. Well, you're exactly right, my friend, and that's why this stuff is so important, because so often we have been told this is the law. We don't ask any questions. Very few people I know take the approach, Grant, the intelligent approach, and say, I will happily comply with everything you've said, but I need you to show me this law. Show me this law by which you're operating under, and I will happily go along with it. I talked to a guy whose daughter was not going to be allowed to attend college unless they had a Social Security number, and she doesn't have one. So, he said she doesn't have one. They said, oh, well, she can't go to the school then. And he's like, well, that's up to you. That's for you to determine. But as soon as you show me a law, I'll provide you with the information you need. Or I don't know if she had one or she just didn't want to give it out. But the point is that they could never produce that law, and it was, they dropped their side of the argument, and it was a non-issue at that point. But you have to know what the laws are. You have to know what your rights are, and you have to know that you have the ability to keep certain things in your life private, regardless of what they tell you, because odds are they're just trying to throw their weight around. So when you are aware of these things, you can make the smart choices. So even if you're not planning on doing this at all, any of these privacy measures, you should still read the book to know what your options are. Because you may say, well, I'm fine. I'm under the radar. Nobody knows where I am. You'd be surprised what they know. Monitoring phone calls, emails, everything that they possibly can. In this day and age, I think that they pretty much, I walk into just about every situation, Grant, thinking that anytime I sign my name, anytime I run a credit card, anytime I rent something that has a computer for a cash register or purchase something that has a computer for a cash register, it's going in there. Regardless.
Yes, it is, and that's why it's smart to use when you make certain kinds of purchases and when it's not required to use your official identity, to use an alternate identity.
Sure.
But just for privacy reasons,
yeah.
And you're hurting no one. All you're doing is exercising your right to privacy.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I don't know if I've told you this story, but this is a very bizarre experience that was shared with me, Grant. A friend of mine went to Walmart to purchase something, and she went in there. She paid it with cash, okay? And even she gave me the receipt. I made copies, and I have copies. The receipt talks about the item she purchased. It says she was paid with, it was paid in cash, how much she tendered, how much change was given. And at the bottom, it said thank you, and it had her name, her full name, first and last name. She didn't even pay with a credit card. So that raises a whole new issue here. Stay with us, if you will, Grant. And, folks, we'll be back after a short commercial break.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you, from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and, of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073, or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Well, and our special guest this evening is also our sponsor, Grant Hall, author of the book Privacy Crisis. Grant, welcome back.
Thank you. The story you were telling is an interesting one. I have no idea how the lady was recognized and how they knew her name if she paid cash. I know there's a great deal of talk about facial recognition and voice recognition. et cetera. And I have no doubt that that is used at certain places. I don't know what her circumstances were, whether there was any codes that she punched in that were associated with her real identity. It doesn't sound like it. If she paid cash,